Me in the back. All right. Successful. Technology is working. We're off to a good start this morning, okay? Good morning. How are you this morning? All right. It's great to be back here. And first of all, thank you, Pastor Knox, for allowing me the opportunity to be up here. You know, what a great day to be worshiping. What a great day to be glorifying God. You know, blessings to you. May Jesus Christ fill your heart with love and joy. May the sermon today glorify God. Give your future visitors and yourselves joy and peace as you create relationships and enjoy other people. So how's that for starting out? That's a lot to say in a very short period of time, all right? You know, it is good to be back with you. I did come in here on the 18th of May as an unannounced visitor, and I'll have you know that's very hard for me. From this standpoint, I'm very extroverted. I love people. I love getting to know them, asking names, shaking hands, seeing how you're doing, smiling, laughing. But when I do an unannounced visit, it's not about me. It's about you. So I come in as an introvert. I don't initiate anything. I don't start anything. I wait to see how you interact with a visitor and what you say. I've been to some churches that I've had gentlemen shake my hand and they were looking this way because they were afraid to make eye contact. I've been to churches where I've been an invisible visitor, where I've walked in and out, and sadly, no one said one word to me. I'm sure some of you have been to some other churches, and you're, over the years, where you've been in and out of places and people never even knew you were there. So if they took you to court and said, "Were you in church on May 18th at Emmanuel Baptist Church? Do you have any witnesses?" Unfortunately, there would be no witnesses. Okay? I don't want that to happen here. You have a lot of really, really good people. You got a beautiful building. You've got a lot going for you. And I hope that some of the things I share with you today will just, ratchet you up to another level. Good to go? Okay. I did enjoy worshiping with you. Today the sermon is on a welcoming church culture. Now, each one of you got a bulletin insert. If you didn't, please raise your hand and someone will make sure you get this, because I'm going to kind of follow through this and I will let you know when we're going to start the insert, okay? So don't keep looking down as you started yet. And if you miss a blank, my wife's taking all the notes back there. She'll help fill in the blanks that you missed out, okay? All right. To clarify, a welcoming church culture focuses primarily on visitors as well as unknown attendees and unknown members. The sermon today, we're going to talk specifically about visitors. On business trips over the years, I attended many weekend trade shows as a sales manager or sales representative. And everybody knew on Sunday morning, I was going to find the closest church with the earliest worship time, and I was going to go worship to praise God for the week that had taken place and to praise God for the week that was coming up. And the presidents and the vice presidents and the executives all knew what I was doing, and I would come in about 9 or 10 o'clock. If it was in the north, it was in the south, it was 11 or 12, because churches don't start till after 10 o'clock, okay? So I got in a little bit later than what I wanted to. But on these churches, I visited many, many, many churches as a visitor, and firsthand, you would be very surprised how I was received. And so it created a desire to create a welcoming ministry. The welcoming ministry at Trinity Baptist Church, I personally took the approach to help people feel welcome, to be engaged. I wanted them to know the wonderful people at church. I wanted them to be able to start relationships. I wanted them to be able to not look around and go, "Are people looking at me?" I want them to be able to feel comfortable and be able to worship God and sing and feel comfortable and listen to a sermon and realize that the people aren't here there to judge you. They're there to worship with you and to fellowship and to be disciples and to reach out and care and help and assist. You know, those are churches I really, really enjoy going to. Really, really enjoy going to. Well, the Welcomers Ministry has grown. It's influenced the church body at Trinity to take the initiative to personally approach and welcome visitors. The friendly church body reaches out, says hello, starts conversations, introduces oneself by name, shakes hands, learns visitors' names, introduces a visitor to other people, remembers a visitor's name, develops sincere, Christ-centered relationships. It's not the exclusive responsibility of the welcomers team, elder or pastor, to meet visitors. But the church body, let me replace that, you, striving to create a positive first impression and to develop meaning relationships with visitors. This church-wide effort is called a welcoming church culture. And I'll warn you, it's very infectious. Once it starts, it continues to grow and grow and grow. It makes it very enjoyable as a visitor coming to a church that has this culture. My challenge for each person here today is to be actively involved and understand what to do to enhance the welcoming church culture at Emmanuel Baptist Church. You know, a visitor makes a final decision to come to a church based on friendliness, whether or not to come to that church based on a number of non-scientific items. Things like feelings, smiles, colors, parking lot, building appearance, sincerity, child care, availability, restroom cleanliness, worship, music, sermon content. But most of all, the decision rests heavily upon developing new relationships with you. You are the key. You're important, very important. All these other factors play in, but the people side is the most important. Let us pray. Dear glorious Father, please allow this sermon today to pierce the hearts and the minds and to help us each reach out as a disciple for Jesus Christ and to touch other people, not just within these four walls, but outside these four walls. We just praise you, Lord. We thank you for this time this morning to worship and glorify you. In your Son, Jesus Christ's name, amen. Yeah, I knew I was going to do this. I was looking for the controller and I grabbed my car keys. But that's okay. I'm human. All right. What do you call a visitor? Any idea? You call a visitor a guest. And this is the first question on your sermon outline. All right? You know, just like you look forward to getting to know a guest that comes to your home, the same applies to a guest that comes to your church home. I hope you're excited. You may not know who or when, but I hope you're really excited that when that guest comes, you have the chance to entertain, get to know them, create relationship, talk with them, learn about them. Be really, really excited. The word guest instead of visitor, visitor is kind of cold. Sometimes you hear people say newbie. Yeah, that's a rookie. They haven't been here before. That stranger over there. There are a whole bunch of terms that we got for visitors. All right? But I like the word guest because it kind of creates an attitude and a frame of mind. You've been given a blessing. Enjoy that blessing. So throughout the sermon today, I'll be using the word guest in place of the word visitor. And allow me grace if I switch the words back and forth. That happens on occasion. Okay? Now, no trick questions, but I would like an answer. Where do guests come from? Anybody? What's that? Okay. Can you be a little more specific? All right, that's good. Anyone else? Okay. All right, that's good. Anyone else? I asked that question one time, and the gentleman said from the parking lot. So we started praying for cars in the parking lot. Okay? So, yes, everywhere covers that one pretty good. Okay? But true. All right. So my question is, where do guests come from? Who is omnipotent? Who knew the day you were born, the day you're going to graduate to heaven, knows everything about your life, the struggles, the challenges, the growth, everything? Who is that? All right. So if guests come from God, anybody disagree with that? Now's your chance, or forever hold your peace, okay? If we all agree to come from God, then I want you to read and think about this next question. How does God want you to treat His guest? Maybe it's in a little different context than the way you thought of it before, but a guest being here is a gift that God has given you. Now, do you look at that as a blessing? Or in the back of your mind, you go, oh no, I don't know that person. I don't know what to do. I'm going to head the other way. It's uncomfortable for me to meet someone. You know, your attitude determines a lot of what you will do. But keep that in mind. It's His guest. And if He's given you a glorious guest, how does He want you to treat that guest? Why seek a welcoming church culture? First of all, we are charged as Christians, as disciples, to be welcoming. If you'll take a look at Matthew 22:37-39, which I have on the screen here, I'll save you having to flip through your Bible unless you really want to do that, okay? And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and foremost commandment. The second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Tip here, your neighbor is that guest that comes to church on Sunday morning. Love your neighbor as yourself, which means on Sunday morning, choosing between seeking fellowship with members of your congregation or doing some church business or meeting an unknown guest, what do you do? Do we apply God's word? This is Philippians 2:3-5. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, respect or regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Having this attitude in yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus. So what do we choose? Do we go to our friends? Or do you try to make a connection and speak with that guest? Yes, it means being uncomfortable at times. And for some of us, that's a very hard thing to do. But I will assure you that the more you try, and the more you do it, the easier it gets, the more exciting it gets, the more enjoyable it gets, the more people you get to know and care for and pray about, the more lives you're able to invest in and help, and it just continues to keep going and going. And as I'm telling you, I'm getting goosebumps going up and down my arms just telling you that, because it's really, really good. Don't worry about the fear or the uncomfort. Just try. Remember, at a church service, you have a limited amount of time before and after the service in which to meet a guest. Pretty much limited. Consider that this may be the only opportunity that you have, because a guest may only be here this Sunday. They may not be back here next Sunday, and you may have been that key that brings them back here. So always keep that in the back of your mind. Why seek a welcoming church culture? Let's take a look at Matthew 5:46-47. If you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Think about that. Love those who love you, greet only your brothers. Notice it says, what rewards do you have? If you're only going to do what's comfortable and easy, and within your sphere of influence, and you're not stretching and reaching out, which we've been commanded to do, what kind of rewards will you have? It's kind of like saying, I'm going to take the safe, easy, convenient, or comfortable way out. Now, I'd like you to ponder something for a moment. What if Jesus Christ did not reach out to people, but chose to stay exclusively with the 12 disciples because it was easy, safe, convenient, and comfortable? What would our faith and belief be like today? Would we be sitting here this morning worshiping God? Would it have reached to all four corners of the world? Think about that a second. If Jesus didn't reach out, if he didn't try, if he didn't teach people to be disciples, to go out into the multitudes and do whatever needed to be done, there's a chance we might not be here today. So, Jesus gave us each an example to follow. We're commanded to reach out, approach people. Yes, we're commanded to approach people just as missionaries do in a foreign land. Except we're at Emmanuel Baptist Church this morning. And guess what? This is our mission field this morning, where we are. You know, they always say, where you're planted, that's where you always do the best that you can do. Do we obey the command and reach out to others? Why seek a welcoming church culture? Colossians 4:5-6. Conduct yourself with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of each opportunity. Pardon me, making the most of the opportunity. Not just staying by yourselves or staying back, reaching out. And it doesn't mean just within the walls of your church, wherever you are, parking lot, soccer game, piano lessons, ballet, gymnastics, wherever it is, it's easy to reach out and connect with people. Another part about a welcoming church culture. What do I say? Well, let your speech always be with grace as though seasoned with salt, so you will know how you should respond to each person. It's interesting. The first time I read that, I kind of wondered, what's the salt have to do with it? You know, it's a preservative, and it adds taste. So this particular verse, similarly for a Christian, allow the conversation to be wholesome and allow it to be gracious. That means no questionable jokes. That means uplifting. No comments about other people. You see what I'm saying? Be true. Now, a welcoming church culture, are you praying in advance for guests to come to Emmanuel Baptist Church and asking the Holy Spirit for wisdom and what to say and do? You know, we pray, we plan, prepare for vacations, holidays, sporting events, music lessons, social gatherings, potluck meals, business trips, and much, much more. We do all that. Our lives are very busy and full today. But are you intentionally praying, personally planning, and expecting to meet guests each Sunday? So I have a little bit multiple choice question for you, okay? A, am unsure. B, I hadn't considered it. C, I regularly pray, plan, and meet guests. Or D, the last one, I commit to pray, plan, and meet guests. Now, by doing this, yes, it's your decision to decide to do this. But remember that God promises to answer earnest prayer, concerted prayer. So prepare and anticipate that guests are going to come to Emmanuel Baptist Church. You'd be amazed at what will happen when you start praying that. You know, when you're ready, God will bring people to you. And it may be the future leaders, future small group leaders. It may be support staff you're looking for. It may be the key person you need in your ministry to help. You have no idea what's going to happen. But pray and be expectant and anticipate, and it will happen. Now, what do we know about guests? How are guests treated? While most churches claim to be friendly, too often that only means towards existing members. I can tell you I've been in churches that I walked around the entire sanctuary. People were broken up into groups, and not one person said hello. They were really into enjoying their fellowship. And don't get me wrong, fellowship is great. It's wonderful. It's enjoyable. It's a blessing that we're given. But not at the expense of ignoring a visitor, or a guest. How should we treat guests? A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. You are my disciples, if you have love for one another. You know, when you reach out to a guest in brotherly love, it is a witness as a disciple of Jesus Christ. You read, study, pray, listen, sing, write, speak God's word, but you take an action in applying and trusting in his word to approach a guest. Is it uncomfortable? It can be starting out. But the more you try, and the more you rely on God, and the more you pray, and you ask for wisdom, it's amazing what can happen. I've seen people that were very, very timid turn to absolutely fabulous welcomers. They gave their heart to God and said, Lord, use me to serve the guest that comes to our church. They became more outgoing, more extroverted. They were able to ask questions, have a conversation, and introduce people to other people. And they just really made it very enjoyable for that guest to come. And they, too, were filled with a blessing and had great joy because of being able to do that. But they had to try and go through that process to get there. If a guest was seeking a Bible-believing and practicing church to join, and they came to Emmanuel Baptist Church and experienced relationships, were warmly welcomed by people, felt there was sincere interest to know them, were cared for, listened to God's word preached, and made a personal connection, wouldn't this be a powerful witness identifying Emmanuel Baptist Church as a Bible-believing and practicing church with disciples who are showing the love for one another just as Jesus Christ commanded? Have you ever had anybody come up to you and ask you, is this a Bible-believing teaching church? And you answer yes. And then they look around. Nobody talks to them. Nobody says hello. Nobody tries to start a relationship. Nobody asks them questions. Nobody engages them. And it's like, whoa, as disciples are supposed to reach out, that isn't happening. So it's kind of a negative, pardon me for saying that. But when you're a disciple and you're reaching out, it's amazing what can happen. As a disciple showing grace and loving kindness to a guest which comes our way, we echo our Savior's invitation for salvation, and this may be the first step in showing them the way to heaven. Just by welcoming well, you've cracked the door and made an inroad to help that guest maybe find that way to the salvation that we enjoy and have been given as a blessing. Next area is meeting a guest. Now, in your bulletin insert, I made a little change in the sermon here, and at the bottom of it where it says meeting a guest, the first point, if you want to write that at the bottom of the first page. And I will tell you a little strategy. If you want to meet guests before church starts, come to church early. You get a few more minutes to talk and start a relationship and get started. If you're always sneaking in right at the wire, you miss that first opportunity to get a chance to start a relationship with a guest. The first one I was referring to is to meet a guest, go meet the guest. If you sit in your pew or you stand in your corner and the guest is at the end of the pew or in another corner and you don't ever go to where they are, you really don't get the opportunity to meet them. Meeting a guest may seem rather basic to some, but you'd be surprised at how many people are very uncomfortable at doing this. And some of them are so uncomfortable they go absolutely the other way, just so they don't get put in the situation. So I hope and pray that what I'm going to share with you now that follows will make it easier for you to talk, to engage, and create a relationship. And instead of going the other way, you'll go that direction to engage that guest and start a conversation. So I apologize that these are going to be kind of basic, but you know what? You got to start somewhere. And my hope is that this will give you some encouragement and confidence so that the next time you see a guest, hey, I remember a few of these things. I can do this. I'm going to go approach them and not be polarized by fear. So go meet the guest to begin with. Next, sit beside or behind the guest in a pew. I've had some people take two or three pews, and if you're a guest and you sit in that area, they're going to get to know you. If there's a time of fellowship during the service or after the service, they'll come over and say, hey, my name is so-and-so, what's your name? So they make sure that they're in an area where that guest is with the hope of a chance of starting a conversation. Next, introduce yourself by name. That's one of the biggest challenges that I find as an unannounced visitor. People will say, hello, how are you, good morning, some churches. But there's something about when you give somebody your name and you ask their name, now, pardon me for saying this, they know who you are, okay? They know who you are. That's a good thing because you also know who they are. And you go from this kind of superficial level, now, I know who you are. Hey, Mike, how are you doing today? Hey, how did your child do last week in the soccer game? How are things going on at work? Hey, I was going to call you Wednesday. Can you get together for coffee, Mike? I really enjoy getting a chance to know you and your wife. You see what I'm doing? Now you're getting to kind of a basic human connection level, and it's really, really, really important to know that name, and it's really important to give your name. I've been to some churches where I've said, hey, that guy was 6'10 with the big beard. Because that's all I knew him as. He never introduced himself, so I couldn't tell you what his name was. All right? So introduce yourself by name. Use that name. Smile. A smile is infectious. Some people think, well, what's he smiling about? He must know something I don't know. Who cares? Just smile. It's really good. It's really good. Next, say hello. Hi, good morning. How are you? How are you doing today? Isn't this a gorgeous day? Isn't it great being here worshiping this morning? I mean, oh, there's so many ways enthusiastically that you can communicate with someone, and saying hello makes you feel very good. 10-foot rule. Anybody have an idea what the 10-foot rule is? Okay. You're pretty good. You're really, really close. Okay. If you're within 10 feet of a person that you don't know, yes to eye contact. So I can check that as a correct answer. Okay. Say hi. Say hello. Good morning. Good afternoon. How are you? And if you have time, start a conversation. Now, when I was here on the 18th, walking up the hall out here, Pastor Knox did that to me. I didn't know who this guy was with a white shirt and a tie and an earpiece in. And he said hello, and he smiled, and he welcomed me, and he was very gracious and very warm, and I really enjoyed that a lot. Okay? If you don't do this, and you look away, or you turn and walk away, and you're a guest, a person's a guest that has this happen to them, they're going to think that this is an unfriendly church. And here's what will happen. Well, did I say something wrong? Was I dressed not right? Am I in the wrong place? Did I not know what's going on? How come that person didn't say hello? Am I not dressed appropriately? And you'll put that guest into a series of thoughts and questions that you really don't want to put them down. And it may be nothing about them, except somebody from this congregation walking by and just not really being very attentive to somebody that's a guest at your church. That happened to me on the way out. Walking down the hallway, a gentleman was walking up. I got to within 3 feet with him. And my personality went, good morning, how you doing? I couldn't say a word. I had to wait to see what he was going to do. And the person walked by, as a matter of fact, didn't even look. And when he got close, he kind of went like this, so he kind of even looked away. Now, did that make me feel very welcoming here? No, it didn't. So don't do that to people. Whether they're a guest, an attendee, a member you don't know, the least amount, say hello, hi, good morning, how are you? If you have more time available, hey, my name's Ward Utterback. How are you? What's your name? Great to see you this morning. Where are you from? What you doing? Oh, is that your son? How old is your son? I mean, you can go on and have a conversation very easily, but don't walk by without saying hello, smiling, or at least acknowledging that that person was there. Because imagine if I was coming into the service and somebody did that to me, I might be sitting in that pew wanting to listen to a great sermon, and my mind's going, well, why didn't that person say hello to me? Why did they look away? What did I do wrong? Am I in the wrong place? Just know something. For adults, walking into the church, going into a dentist office, or going into a regular building is the most stressful and nerve-wracking experience for adults 18 years of age and older. All right? Think about that. So anything you can do to kind of change that perception and help them to relax makes a big difference, because they're already keyed up when they're coming in, because this is new. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know where to sit. I don't know where the restrooms are. I don't know where childcare is. I don't know where to hang my coat. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know if I'm going to sit in the right. I mean, I hope you understand the type of questions that guest goes through when they come to a new church. So the 10-foot rule. If you don't know who they are, or even think you don't know who they are, say hello, good morning, how are you, etc. Next, make eye contact. Look at the person you're shaking hands to. Pastor Knox did that really, really well. Really, really well. I felt very welcomed here when I first came in. You know, I may have met you a couple years ago, but I didn't remember, and I'm sorry about that. But it was really nice. I don't know who this gentleman is, but he sure makes you feel welcome when you walk in. And I appreciated that a whole lot. Shaking hands. Guys, we're not in high school. Doesn't matter how much testosterone you have, when you shake a lady's hand, shake it gently. Don't squeeze it hard, and don't make the impression of her ring and her other finger will be fossilized, because the pain she'll have when she walks away, she won't think, you were a nice guy. Dang, that guy really hurt my hand a lot. So guys, either match your strength or a little bit, but don't crush their fingers. Same thing with guys. Some people have elbows and shoulders and hand problems. Don't crunch their hands so bad that the knuckles turn white or that you roll the knuckles. My dad used to do that to me, and I got even with him one day. But anyway, that's another story for another time. But a nice, firm shake that says, hey, I'm really enjoying meeting you, and my name is so-and-so, etc. So handshake, be very careful of that, especially with ladies. Ask for the guest name. If I give my name, we start talking. Oh, what's your name? It's a difficult name. Ask him to say it again. It's a difficult name. How do you spell that? And sometimes I'll phonetically spell the name out so I have a chance of repeating it right the next time. It may be great spelled wrong, but grammatically it'll help me say it next time, the next time I talk to that person. Say the name and say it in the conversation. Hey, Bill, it's great to see you today. Bill, what happened with that? Did you get that car sold that you were talking about? You know, Bill, I think the last time I talked to you, you took a vacation to Florida and you did some fishing. All right? When you use that person's name in that conversation, they realize you've paid attention. You know who they are. You've recognized them. And it really makes it very easy to communicate when you use that name. Sincere personal interest. People know when you're just shaking hands for shaking hands. One gentleman walked in and he had a sailfish on the pocket of his shirt. And that's always something I wanted to try. And I go, did you do that? Oh, yeah. We had a 5-minute conversation on how to sailfish. It was really, really interesting. Something he was interested in, something I was interested in. We had a great discussion. I'm even more excited. I can't wait for a time I can go do that. Never, not in the near future, but one of these days I will. Ask a question to start a conversation. Ask a question to start a conversation. Have you ever heard of form? F-O-R-M. First one is family. Do you have a family? Kids, what do? Oh, you're in gymnastics? My daughter's in gymnastics. Where do you go? You know, the whole conversation can go from there. Next, what's your occupation? What do you do for a living? What keeps you out of trouble for 40 hours or 50 or 60 hours a week? Okay? Next, recreation. Hey, what do you like to do with your free time? Oh, I like to go musky fishing, or I enjoy fly fishing, or I enjoy working with wood, or hey, I really have a great time. I'm building a swing set in the back for my kids, and I really like doing that. You know, and it's amazing what people will tell you about their interests. And don't ask it like, okay, interrogate someone. It's a very general, open, warm question. Hey, what do you like to do with your free time? You know, where were you? No, don't do it that way. It's not, you know, an investigation show that you're trying to relive, okay? With these three, family, occupation, and recreation, the biggest thing I can tell you is pay attention to the answer. Don't be thinking about the next question you're going to ask. Because if you do that, well, yeah, I really like antique cars and, you know, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And your next question is, oh, what do you do for work? Where you could have taken that conversation. Oh, what type of antique cars? I've got a brother-in-law who likes to do that. And you can kind of take that trail on down and have a conversation that has meaning and value to them as well as yourself. The last item is message. The message can be, hey, Wednesday we got a potluck. Like to invite you to come back and join us. Or next Sunday, pastor's doing a sermon on XYZ, and I'm really excited about it. If you're interested, we'd love to have you come back. Or, what are you doing after the service today? Are you interested in going to lunch? Or, I'd really love to get our families together and have a chance to sit down. I'd love to get to know you better. Maybe I can help you with that project, or I know someone that's really, really good in this area that you were talking about. You know what I'm trying to say? Use that M as a message to take it to the next step and move it forward. Even let's go get a cup of coffee after the service. I had one church recently that was so dedicated to welcoming that what they did is they put a budget item that said anytime a visitor comes to their church after the service, someone has the responsibility to go connect with them and invite them out to go to lunch. It was phenomenal. They didn't realize I was the unknown visitor, unannounced visitor, and I got to go to lunch for 2 hours, and I had an absolutely fabulous time. And the gentleman was the head of the welcoming program. We got done, and he figured I was doing an unannounced visit. We really laughed and even had a better time, okay? But But they're conscious. They realize that you got to connect with people. And this is one of the things that they did as a deliberate strategy to make sure they connected with guests that came to their church. Be attentive to a guest's needs. Sometimes they come in, I'm having car trouble. Where's the closest gas station? Hey, are there any restaurants in town that you're pretty good at? I'm looking for a seamstress. I got some buttons to put on a shirt, and my wife's out of town, and I don't know who to go to. It's amazing what people will ask. Be prepared to be able to help. You know, sometimes they'll go, hey, where's the restroom? Come on. I'll show you where the restroom is. And as you're walking down the hallway to get to the restroom, not to the one at the front hall, walk them all the way down to this one, because then you get more time to spend with them, okay? And, where are you from? What do you do? You know, you have a chance as you're talking and walking with them of developing a relationship with them. Introduce them to another person. If you know someone in here is really, really is a teacher, or they like different types of fishing, and this person is a teacher or likes fishing, take them over and connect them to that person. Hey, James, this is Mike. Mike is just visiting today, and he's really interested in fishing, or he's a teacher at XYZ Elementary. You're a teacher over here. I've done that, and the two people started talking so much, all I had to do was step back and walk out of the conversation because they were on their own, and I didn't even have to stay there and continue, and I could go talk to somebody else. So don't ever be afraid of connecting people to other people, especially the single most important person in your congregation is your pastor. If you had a chance to talk to a guest, hey, I want to introduce you to my pastor. As a spiritual leader of your congregation, he's a very, very important person. And people like to meet the pastor. It gives them kind of a feel for what the church is about and where they're going, the direction, personality, a lot of things. And that's not to put any pressure on you, okay? But it's really, really important. A lot of studies have said that, you know, when you introduce somebody to a pastor, I've had people walk out and go, wow, I got a chance to meet the pastor. That is a really great thing. So it's really, really important to do that. If he's not available, you've got a wonderful group of elders. Connect them to one of the elders and introduce them and let them have the conversation. But it's important to connect them to people. Connect them to people. Meet the guest after the service. I met Mike when I came in. Service is done. Do I go to the group that I want to see? Do I take care of church business? I see Mike back there. Nope, I'm going to go back and talk to Mike. Now, in small churches, that's a problem. Because you get 40 people going, I'm going to go talk to Mike. Okay? And what happens? Whoa! Mike gets totally overwhelmed. All right? So if you see someone talking to a guest, wait your time, be patient. Don't all of a sudden gag up on them. It's like, wow, this is an aggressive church. Okay? Don't do that. Be respectful, and when your time comes, capitalize on the opportunity. Next, thank them for coming. Hey, we really appreciate having you today at Emmanuel Baptist Church. Thanks for coming. Thanks for worshiping with us this morning. We really, really enjoyed that. And then another item, always, always, always. Oh, did I say always? Yeah, okay. Invite them to return. Invite them to return. It's amazing when people will tell you, I'll be back, if you give them the invitation. Many people today are still very accountable. And if they enjoyed themselves, they will come back. I can tell you of one church today that we did a workshop for last year. Their retention rate went from 20%, and today it's 60% in less than a year's period of time. That's really important to invite somebody to come back and to do the other things that we've been talking about this morning. Why guests join a church? You'll find this interesting. They asked new members of growing congregations why they came to those churches. Nearly everyone talked about a relationship with an existing member, a neighbor or a coworker who had invited them. They came to church and made a profession of faith based on a relationship with you. They stayed based on a significant relationship and finding what their role was in the church. A relationship and what their role is in the church. And you have about 6 months. Some of the things that I've been reading talks about a relationship with 7 people and finding a way to plug in and be involved, whether it's a small group, whether it's part of a ministry, whether it's providing support and care, whatever it is, some way for them to be engaged and involved with what's going on. So the key there is a relationship and finding a role. And that was the final question on your bulletin insert. So the key word is relationship, which involves receiving, interacting, talking, acknowledging, serving, learning, caring, sharing, risking, involving, and creating a relationship with a guest. In other words, being his disciple, Christ's disciple with that guest. Developing relationships is a very powerful outreach, which leads to church growth. And developing relationships with church members adds to church retention. Outreach and retention. Some of the key indicators that churches use to measure their growth and retention. What else do we know? Guests decide to return to a church in the first 10 to 12 minutes. It's not the worship music. It's not the sermon. In the first 10 to 12 minutes, they're going to decide whether they're going to return and come back to this church. So in that first 10 to 12 minutes, you have a chance of making an impression and making an impact. What else do we know? Guests judge a church in the first 30 seconds. How many of you gentlemen have walked into a store and your wife says, I don't like the lighting, the carpeting. Why didn't they put this over here? This is a weird color. They should have used a different tile. I don't like the smell over here. This counter should have been over here. Can any of you relate to me? You understand? Okay. Guests do exactly the same thing. So when you have welcomers at your doors and a guest comes in, guess what? You're involved in that first 30 seconds of making a positive impression for this church. Wow, I really enjoyed talking to Mike on the door. He was very friendly and outgoing, gave us a bulletin, he smiled, he answered my wife's questions, he showed us where to go to the restroom, etc., etc. So you get involved in that first 30 seconds. 85% of the guests will attend a church after two consecutive visits. Ergo, now you know one of the reasons why you invite them to come back. Hey, come on back next Sunday. They'll come back two times. You already got an 85% chance that they'll stay and they'll come worship and maybe take the next step and be involved. So these are all the things. There's much, much more that I'll be sharing when we get to the workshop. But I want to kind of wrap this up a little bit and then I'm going to talk a little bit about Welcoming Touch Ministries. First, an effective church welcoming ministry creates the first impression, starts a relationship, serves the guest during the first critical minutes when a guest is judging and deciding about a church. And a welcoming church culture is the next step taken by the entire church body to encourage, acknowledge, and embrace each guest to develop sincere and meaningful personal relationships. Ergo, that's why we call this a welcoming church culture. It starts out slow, but boy, when it grows and gets strong, you would be amazed at what happens. It's something that Trinity Baptist Church has. It continues to grow. It's not uncommon for me to hear stories of a guest coming in and them talking to 3 to 6 people on any given Sunday, on any given event. People are always in tune and looking. Oh, I don't know that guest. I'm going to go over and talk to them. Now, at this point, I'm going to transition a little bit and finish up with Welcoming Touch Ministries. I want to share with you this ministry and ask for your prayers. First, in the vestibule behind you, I have a table that will have a sign-up sheet for news and updates. If you have questions, this sort of thing, I'll be there right after the service. Please stop out, and I'd be happy to answer and help and support and give you any information you need. Next is referrals. This ministry has continued to grow and expand by referrals. If you know of a church that you think could use the services of a welcoming ministry, either a culture, either a workshop, an unannounced visit, a welcoming manual, it's a corporate way of welcoming in a church, give them my name and I've got some business cards and stuff out there, or call me and I'll give them a call. I'm not shy about doing that, if you probably guessed, okay? Next, support in prayer. I ask for your prayers for wisdom, blessings for direction and guidance, a hedge of protection, referrals, and financial support. Ministry mission. We're a nonprofit 501c3. For some of you that haven't been through that process, I just got notified this last week that I was approved, and that was a 16-month process. 6 months to get all the paperwork and 10 months for the IRS to go through and process it and approve it. So I did a little bit of, yeah, thank you, Lord. I got really excited. So we're a nonprofit out of Wisconsin, and our mission is to help churches develop a welcoming culture, one person at a time, to effectively reach out to the local community for Christ. Welcoming Touch Ministry provides the following services: a welcoming church culture sermon, which is what we've done here this morning, an unannounced church visit evaluation, which we did here on the 18th, a welcoming workshop, which is scheduled for the 10th of August, and then a written church manual to take a church and put a corporate welcoming ministry together so everybody knows what to do, at what time, and what's going on, so there's a lot of cohesiveness when guests come into your church. And then last, for financial support. I ask for your help for financial support. This ministry continues to grow. It keeps growing and growing and growing. I don't know when it's going to end. I praise God for the growth. And one of the key elements of this ministry is faithful monthly supporters that donate and support this ministry. Now, if you are providing tithes to your church, or you've made a financial commitment to your church, please, please, totally fulfill that commitment. But if you see a way of partnering with this ministry to touch other churches, to welcome, to grow, to touch people's lives for Christ by welcoming well, please partner with this ministry. It makes a great difference. You know, we don't charge a fee for this service. I ask for travel expenses and an honorarium based on each service, based on the prayer of the leadership of the church. And so by those two means, that's how this ministry has been growing. At this point, at the end of the service, I'll be at a table back there in the vestibule. I want to thank you for the time this morning. Thank you for listening, the privilege of being with you to share what God has shown me. Thank you, Pastor Knox, and the church leadership for the opportunity to be up here this morning. And I'll put one more note in. Save the date, August 10th, for the workshop. If you'd like to be involved, in addition to the free meal, okay, I'm supporting you here, okay, please see Steve Melvin. He's the one responsible for coordinating and connecting all this together. Now, if you'd bow your heads so we can close in prayer. Lord, we pray for